Welcome back to the Technology in Worship podcast, where we talk everything technology in worship. And by we, I mean myself, Eric Coleman, and my good buddy.
Eric, come on. Benji Sartorius.
Well, here we are again.
Here we are.
Sitting in the Studio A.
That's correct.
Audio Central, Office Central of the world.
Yes.
Recording yet again another podcast for our wonderful listeners.
Yes.
We do encourage you to share our podcast with other wonderful listeners who could benefit from listening to our podcast. But something pretty cool just happened. I can't not talk about it.
All right. Go ahead, Eric. What, 5 minutes ago before we started recording this?
Yeah, literally like 5 minutes ago.
So he's on cloud nine right now.
I was featured on WGN TV, which is a local news network for Chicago.
Channel 9. This is true.
And by I was featured.
Your camera work.
I mean, my fiance's business was featured, and I did the camera work, filming and editing.
What a guy.
Of the video.
You're kind of a big deal.
And I was like, wow, I did that. But that's pretty much all it is. So it's kind of like, it was like this big hype. And, you know, now when you see it, it's kind of like, oh, that's what we did.
I'm going to ask you a question that I haven't asked you yet about
the project.
About that project. Because you were watching it on your phone, because obviously you were here.
Yeah.
As like, right when you saw the video playing, what was going through your head?
I was like, oh, here it comes. And then when my video part played, it's like, oh yeah, I remember filming that. Like, could have done that better. Could have done that better. It's more what I think.
A little critique of yourself.
Critique of myself, yeah. Rather than being like, oh wow, that thing's amazing. But still pretty cool.
Still pretty cool.
Hasn't happened to me yet. I actually, side note, back in high school, in my video editing 2 class, I think. I don't remember what it was called.
Yep.
With
Mr. Bono. Yep.
We went and did a studio tour of that WGN studio.
Oh.
So I've nice. Been there.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. I'm sure it's changed in the last 12 years.
Maybe a little bit.
But pretty cool to see it come a little full circle in the sense of,
yep,
I was video editing and did a tour there.
It's true. Yep.
But now.
And now you've edited a video
edited
and filmed
a video
it.
Video and filmed it, and it was featured.
And it was played there.
There. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's kind of like a big round circle. So maybe that's why. It's like a little
nostalgic. Brings you back to your high school editing days a little bit.
And by editing in this video, mind you, let me tell you how I edited it. It cut at the beginning because we used a teleprompter.
Yep.
And it cut at the end.
And that was it.
Audio. I did a little audio.
Okay.
And I tried to color correct.
Tried. Okay. Well, you tried.
Yeah. And then just sent it to the people that needed it. And
they did the rest. They put
they
the
did
little,
the rest.
They did the little lower third title
they
and
did
the
all
information
of that stuff.
And,
I didn't. Yep. I just captured the content. So by editing, I'm pretty much saying it was probably not the most sophisticated edit ever.
Sure. But sometimes it doesn't need to be.
But I can say my work was featured on WGN TV.
Which is kind of a big deal.
Can you say that yet?
I cannot.
There we go. Just like I can say I was on The Voice. And you can't say that.
This is also facts.
Anyway, part of...
I was on a podcast. Oh, I mean, I am on a podcast.
Yeah. Part of filming a project.
Yes.
Or being on a podcast.
Yes.
Or doing live sound or any type of sound.
Yes.
Are these little things called microphones?
Sometimes they're little.
Sometimes they're little.
Sometimes they're
Sometimes
big.
They're big. So we thought, why not do a little bit of a breakdown of microphones, how they're used in our worship spaces.
Okay.
What microphones we're particularly using.
Okay.
We could probably talk about. And then we can kind of talk about like wireless microphones as well.
Okay.
Pretty much anything and everything microphones.
And we're going to do that in a short episode of a podcast.
Yep. And there's no particular order that we'll be talking about these things either.
Perfect.
But the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I recently had a wireless microphone
fail.
Basically fail slash break in our youth space.
Uh-huh.
So thankfully it's not like one of our better microphones. But anyway, it
broke. Are you saying the youth room doesn't get as high quality equipment?
No, the youth room gets all the hand-me-downs and the trash of everything else. I can't say that anymore. The youth room got a brand new microphone.
They got an upgrade.
And yep. It wasn't the top dollar upgrade.
Sure.
But it was an upgrade.
Nice.
And it was purchased specifically for the youth room.
So
after
what
this.
Do they have now?
So the youth room, drum roll please, now has the Shure SLX-D. I think the handheld transmitter is actually called the D4.
Yes.
And the receiver is the D2.
Yes.
So that's what they've got. And
nice.
It's got a SM58 head on it.
Yep.
So a very basic microphone.
Yep.
For wireless purposes. But it previously had a SLX microphone, so it seemed to be the right path to just kind of get something similar but more current.
So
that's what we did.
What do you guys use for your main vocal mics or in the worship center during your worship services?
Yeah, in our worship center, we are using Shure ULX microphones with, and these are wireless, by the way, with a, most of them, I should say, have a Beta 87 head. And we only have four of these currently. Well, that's kind of true. We have two more that just arrived last week in a box that need to be set up. We got two more wireless coming our way.
Nice.
But most of them have the 87 head.
Yep.
And others have, just one of them has the SE-V7
yep.
MC1 head. But that thing looks sick because it's black and it's got a white, or sorry, black, but it's
red.
Got a red
foam
in it.
The windscreen.
To help with plosives and
yep.
that kind of stuff. But I think it looks really cool. I do wish it'd be really cool. It's probably part of their branding to have it red, but it'd be pretty cool if you could change it out to be other colors.
You probably could.
I've never actually looked or tried.
Yeah.
But that'd be pretty cool in the sense of, like, I know
the original one we bought, I don't remember what the color was. It was not red.
Was it wireless or handheld, though?
It was wireless.
Because my wireless is not red.
I have
my wired one is not red.
Yeah, the very first one that I bought, which was a while ago, like when the whole big Justin Timberlake used it for the Super Bowl, everybody went out and bought one. We went out and bought one as well. And I don't remember what the color was, but it was not red. And then I bought, I don't know, three or four more a year or two after that. And then they were red.
Oh.
But I don't remember what the other color was. Now I have to go look, but not right now.
I'm just thinking it'd be kind of cool to do red, orange, yellow, and then...
That sounds like you're going back to the 80s with the big colored windscreens. So that's a terrible idea.
I do that for other spaces because for the youth space and the fellowship hall, it is easier to find a color for a random volunteer using a microphone. Grab the yellow mic and use it. Granted, in the youth center, there's literally one microphone.
So that's kind of pointless. all right, let's go to drum mics. What drum mics do you guys use?
Well, you're going to love this. We've talked about it before, but basically we started off with the Shure PG lineup of drum mics. It was like one of those drum mic kits.
Yep.
And we pretty much still have that mostly. It's been modified with a Shure 97A condenser. It's one of those flat ones.
Yep.
I believe you have the same one, actually. I think you're still using it.
Yep.
And that is flat condenser in the kick drum. Then we do have a Beta. I don't even know what it is, honestly. Riley's right here. He'll know. Kick drum mic Beta.
The Beta 52?
52A.
That one?
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
I got that on the outside.
Yep.
And then SM57, top and bottom of the snare. SM57, a little strangely, but under miking the hi-hat.
Okay.
Maybe it's not that strange.
Still makes a noise on the bottom.
Yeah. And then it's the PG56 for the rack tom and the floor tom. And then it's two PG31s for the overhead mics.
Got it.
Basically, the PG series of microphones have a reputation of being the worst drum microphones of all time.
I don't know if they're worse than like
Behringer.
I almost said Behringer.
I don't know either. I've never tried them, so I can't quite say that. But
okay, what about your let's see, preaching mic? What do you use for a preaching mic?
Oh, this is where we're gonna differ.
We haven't differed yet. We don't use the PG mics.
Yeah, I know. There's quite a bit of differences, quite honestly. Well, for MD on stage, let me just go through
okay.
some of
I forgot.
Let's
you
go
guys
through
do
some
that.
Stage. So we still have a wired Beta 87 in line right now for the MD mic. Sometimes it's used as a vocal mic. So I was constantly changing it from like a Beta 58 to this other wired 87. And I was just like, why am I doing this? I'll just leave it as the MD mic. And then if it becomes a vocal mic, then we're ready to go kind of thing. So that's worked out. And as far as other mics on stage, those are where, I mean, that's it as far as wired. Then we use the ULX-D for our vocalists. We do currently have a Sennheiser 3rd Gen E3 or whatever it is. It's not ours, but we have it in line. So if we have a fifth vocal, we can use it. Fifth wireless vocal, I should say.
Yep.
And then we have two Shure ULX-D body packs.
Yep.
Which are which are for like, you know, pastoral speaking headset microphone kind of things. We used to use the Countryman H6.
Yes.
Which is the dual ear headset.
Yes.
It's like a $600 headset though.
Yes.
However, when it breaks or whatever, it's usually just like a cable and you can get a replacement, but even that's still like $70. Sounds okay. But I did recently change out our pastor's microphone to the Thor Hammer.
Yes, he sent me that link and said, "This is amazing. You must get it."
Something like that.
Yes.
But it is amazing.
Yeah.
I really do like it. The only thing I don't like about it is with the H6 in particular, it was very easy to like set it. And then like every use, it's pretty much the same placement and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
With the Thor, there's more
fine-tune adjustments
that you can do on it. So I feel like we're adjusting it
every time you use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like a perfect fit and just ready to go. Like, yep. I feel like to adjust it.
And that plugs into a ULX body pack?
A Shure body pack.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you could get a different plug on the end of it.
Sure, right, yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
With a S-C-H-U-R-E versus S-U-R-E.
Sure.
Right, sure. And then, so anyway, the Thor, it's about half the price. So it's $300.
Yeah.
But I think it sounds clearer and we can get more gain out of it.
Mm.
So like, but the only downside that we've had with our speaker is, well, two downsides, the adjustment downside, and it is kind of prone to like poof, plosives, and wind noise. Microphones, we've got a couple of like studio condenser mics on the front of the stage also for audience capture microphones.
Mm-hmm.
We used some shotgun mics before, and now we're using these studio ones.
Got it.
Pretty cool. I don't remember what they are, though.
They just have an XLR connection on the back, and you just plug them in.
Yep. Condenser.
Yeah.
Some sort of Shure.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure, you're right.
Is that it? Can I go now?
No.
Oh, you got more microphones?
Every once in a while, I'm just going to pull this one out because I feel like it's something that other places will use. Every once in a while, we do baptisms. I would say it's like maybe six times a year.
Oh, yeah, you put a mic in the front of the tub.
And we used to consistently have, like, we used to have a stage that was set with people would be on stage. And so we had the podium set for the whole service. And we used to have a podium mic out as well. And I know that that could be kind of common for some churches. So I just thought I might mention that we were using the Audio-Technica U857QL for that.
The QL.
And we still use that for baptisms.
Nice.
Which, I mean, is not great.
Hey.
But it works.
You just had a baptism and you could hear.
Yeah, you could hear it. But in the room, it was kind of quiet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, broadcast, you could hear them.
I know.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. Forget the people in the room. We just care about the people that don't come to church and they want to be lazy and sit in their living room and watch our service. Nice.
So, and then we have multiple 57s, 58s, beta 58s.
Yeah.
Just kind of hanging out. Youth Center has 58s. They have the PGA drum kit microphone set. Nothing fancy down there.
I just looked up.
Yeah.
Behringer drum mics.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't, I'm sure they were like, I was confident that they had a mic set, but I wasn't totally positive on that. So I decided to Google that. They do have a 7-piece drum set for $129.
There you go.
It's on Sweetwater. They do have a 4.8 out of 5 star rating. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Who's rating it, though? That's probably what makes a difference.
At least 57 people have. I'm just saying. Can I go now? Are you done?
Yeah, I think I'm done. Because honestly, a lot of other things are just plug in.
Yeah. So at Mission, I'm going to skip the youth rooms. They basically have the same mic that we have in the main worship center also.
Oh, they're lucky.
So we run seven QLX, the rechargeable guys.
For your handhelds?
Well, we've got 5 handhelds.
Those are QLX?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. They work good.
They do. They're awesome. And then the pastor has a body pack for whoever's preaching.
And that's Q?
Yep. And then we have another Q body pack that is for our wireless guitar. And that's the exact same setup that we have in our other campus as well. So exact same handhelds, body packs, wireless guitar and all that. And then we've got, I don't even know, I think probably 8 or 9 ULX, like the older version of those.
No, the older version of mine, if it's
yeah,
you.
Yeah, the older version.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we basically use those every once in a while for like Easter, Christmas, dramas.
Maybe there's a special.
Things like that. So yeah, we have quite a few wireless microphones. Typically our lead vocalist, whether that's our worship pastor or worship leaders, they get a KSM-8 capsule. Usually, it depends on the person. And then most of the other people, again, depending on the people, either get an SM58 capsule or a the SE-V7 capsule that we were just talking about. So again, it kind of depends on where they're standing on stage based on where the drums are, if they're a strong vocal or not, good microphone technique or not. If they're like right next to the drums and not the best mic technique, then we'll probably just give them a 58 capsule and crank the gain and
call it a day.
Have no issues. We do run the PSE plugin on all those microphones to just help with more gain and less feedback and all that stuff. Our drums, we have a lot of, I would say, really good microphones for drums. We do run the Shure 91A for kick. Just that microphone. That's it. Just one kick. I just saw a Facebook post on how many microphones do you run on your kick or something like that. And everybody's like, I saw an answer, multiple answers of one microphone, multiple answers of two microphones. I saw a few answers of three microphones.
Three.
So, well, technically not three microphones. I guess it's technically two microphones, and then they do like the sub kick thing that sits in front of the kick drum. Technically it's three inputs, but I would say probably most people probably run two, I would say. But I feel like the wave of going back to a Singer microphone might be starting to take off a little bit more of just being
Singer or single?
Single.
Okay.
Not Singer. Single. Microphone. Like that wave is starting to come back around, I think, of less is more.
Less is more.
And depending on your board, you might not have enough, you know,
inputs anyway to do multiple in.
So
one.
I mean, if you're running 2 kicks and 2 snares and you're miking all the drums and overheads, like you're probably like 9 channels or more just for drums. So we have plenty of channel count. For me, it sounds good with the one. We run it through a couple of wave plugins to get the sound that we like, and less is more in my opinion. So We do have 57s for top and bottom snare. Our toms are Earthwork DM20s. And then I forgot what the hi-hat is. It's a Shure something other. And then our overheads are Mojave 201 FETs, which I really like the sound of those
as well.
Which
they don't make anymore, right?
They do. It's a newer version, though.
But it doesn't sound the same or something?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't have that one, so.
Oh, okay.
I think the new ones are silver. They do like a silver edition or something like that. They're $850 a piece, I think.
Expensive.
They are expensive. Yeah, I'm on the fence with the DM20s for the toms. I feel like there's a lot of cymbal bleed that we do get with those mics. They do make the drum itself sound good, but it does have a lot of bleed. So I don't know. I'm not totally sold on those mics, but I like how they're nice and small. They got the little built-in boom, so like you can get that thing pretty close and direct to the drum. So yeah. Let's see, what other mics do we run? Our pastor mic.
Yeah.
You guys are gonna love this. Probably gonna make fun of me, actually. So we also ran the Countryman mic. However, single back ear, then, right? It was the single ear. But they were $650 a piece. We had like 10 of those microphones or something. It was ridiculous. But that was what we had. And that was kind of, I think that was before I came on staff. We had all of those. I came on staff. We continued to use them. We had a Christmas production with a lot of kids in it. And I think we broke two or three of those microphones.
Those kids breaking microphones.
And I'm like,
expensive microphones.
That's 650 times two or three. So. And like obviously with the single ear, like you always have to tape it because they're always moving around. They don't fit very, very well. And so I was like, well, I have to order some mics for Christmas now, before Christmas. And I saw these really, really,
really,
really very inexpensive microphones.
Very inexpensive.
On Amazon. And I'm like, hey, you know what? They're
looks
kids.
The same.
They're kids. It's the two ear, so dual ear. I'm going to buy one. It was
$17.
$17.
Just 17.
I ordered one, and I did a comparison, which is what you should do, not just take it or leave it, because if it sounds good in one space, doesn't mean it's going to sound amazing and good in your space. So I did a comparison. I wore the Countryman on one ear. I put the new $17 one on both ears. I got the exact same body pack mics. I EQ'd them the exact same, set the gains the exact same. And I just like basically AB'd, walked around with an iPad so I could walk the room and make the changes. And believe it or not, I could hardly... I would almost say I did not hear a difference.
A difference, but there was not necessarily a positive difference.
It wasn't like it sounded better, as in like, oh, I have to get
but
this.
But as far as it
but
sounding,
it didn't sound any worse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, $17, $650, kids just broke two or three of these. I need two or three or four more, like maybe one for a spare type of thing. And so I went out and I bought like 12 of them.
For like a third of the cost or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the math. How many microphones you can get at $17 for the price of one that is $650. And that was six or 7 years ago. We are still using this same microphone.
Yeah.
I think I have probably like 15 or 20 in our drawer, and I use them at all of our campuses, all of our kid spaces, our main preacher. That's whoever speaks. That's the microphone that they use, and it works. Like it legit works.
I kind of, I mean, I want to in a way. They now, do feel they're very not adjustable, in my opinion.
They are fully adjustable, in my opinion.
I don't know.
You can totally bend that sucker however you want. You can bend the earpieces to fit around your ear. And this is the way I look at these microphones. Now, have they failed? I have had them fail, but not any more than like a Countryman or any other brand. It's not like they're flimsy and they just break. But in my opinion, if and when they break, to me, they're throwaway mics. There's no, you don't replace the cable. There's not like a little connection.
You buy
like
another microphone.
You get another microphone. So that's why I have a drawer of like 20 of them.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. But I've never had one fail that was like, oh, the microphone failed in the middle of the service and now I have to go replace it. So it's not like it's a cheap and it doesn't last type of microphone. I've had that. I've had the exact same microphone on the Pastor mic last for over a year and used every Saturday and every Sunday, three services. And it lasted over a year for $17. That's a pretty good
investment. Yeah.
So now I'm not saying that it's going to sound awesome and amazing in your space. Like I just got done saying, like just because it sounds good in on one drum or one vocal doesn't mean it's going to sound good on your drum or your vocal. But that's what we use. So I've talked to DPA reps and they're like, yeah, we'll send you out one to try for a demo. I'm like, sure. And I'm like, this
compare it with
my, and I'm like, just so you know, this is what we use. And they're like, hey, this is what I like about DPA, which we actually have not tested yet in our room. But when I tell them this is what we use, it's a $17 microphone. They're like, that's awesome. You know, if it works great in your space and you're with your pastor and all that, I'm not judging you. Like, more power to you. But they're like, if you want, we'll send you out one to demo and like, no pressure. So that's one thing I like about them. Like, they were just super cool. Like, no, that has to sound like garbage because the price is $17 and the company is four letters and it starts with a P. So it's got to be bad. But it actually works for our space. So not saying that we'll never change or never switch, but that's what we use for our preaching mic.
Wow.
Yes. Let's talk. Hey, we're talking to microphones right now.
Yeah, we are. Look at these things.
We are using the Shure SM7Bs.
Which is a quite popular podcasting microphone.
Well, yes. But I think it really got popular because of COVID.
I don't know. I think it was popular before
that. Okay, I take that back. It got popular for singing because of COVID.
For singing because of COVID, I would agree. But it's been used in radio and podcasting at least since 2012.
Yeah.
I remember
seeing
it.
But then,
everywhere.
Obviously, COVID hit. And I swear, just about almost every church service recording live stream that I saw, all the worship leaders had to sing into this microphone.
Which, now, speaking of,
it does sound really good. It's a good sounding mic. I like it.
Yeah. But have you seen those comparison videos with this and a 57?
I don't think I have.
It's kind of funny because
they sound the same.
They sound very similar.
Yeah. So,
do you disagree?
This microphone we just heard from our audience, our live audience, just told us in 1973 the SM7B came out.
It's been It's been used for a long time.
2001, and now they just did a new one that's got the cloud lift thing built in.
Built in, basically, yeah.
Which is kind of cool. This one,
7B,
this is not that.
DB.
Well, what about C?
DB.
They forgot about the C.
But yeah, it's got a cloud lifter built into it or something.
Yeah. I don't know if you could probably tell. You probably can't tell because, I don't know, the cloud lift, it obviously does boost the gain on the mic a little bit. I think it does change the sound a little bit. Technically, the microphone I'm talking into does have the cloud lifter. The one that Eric is talking into does not have the cloud lift.
It does not. I didn't know that. I thought it did.
So there you go. When we film announcement videos, we do shotgun mics.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that.
Do you do a lapel?
I do a lapel that is probably a $13 generic lapel.
Whoa, you can't use a cheap microphone. How dare you?
Whatever, bro. It's a $13 cheap microphone lapel style going into a DJI mic one kit, because now they have the two, which is, I'm jealous of. But yeah, announcement videos for us are pretty much just shoot it, get it done.
Yep.
Get in, get out.
The
move on. I have that thing edited in 20 minutes.
We used to do lapels. We did lapels for a long time. And I think you get a better sound with lapel for the most part, like a more direct sound, because obviously the mic is closer than, say, a shotgun mic. We were running into the problem of, like, so when we do baptism videos, we'd have, depending on how many people got baptized, we filmed their testimonies ahead of time. And so we just kept, you know, constantly switching the mic, and, you know, you got the cable and
yeah, that's tough.
You're putting it on people, taking that back off. The next person comes in, boom, you're trying to hide the cable. So we decided, let's get rid of that and go with a shotgun mic, which just makes it a lot easier. Then you're just, all you have to do is basically just the height based on how tall the person is, and get that sucker right out of the frame, pointed right at their mouth, and it works really good. We use the Rode NTG2 for that. We also do have a little, the Rode Video Mic Go. It's like a run and gun type of mic. But I don't know, a shotgun mic, if it's not super close, it's really hard to really get that direct sound. So
when I was using a shotgun mic for announcement videos, well, typically if I pull out a shotgun mic, I'm the type of person that uses both, or at least has both set up, where I'll have a shotgun and a lav. And but the lav becomes the backup, essentially.
Yeah. I did that as well, like making the transition one to the other, just as like a backup, just in case it didn't sound good. But now we just use the shotgun.
But I was using the Sennheiser MKE 600, which is the one that I personally bought first, and then we church bought it.
And then
I did a lot of research with the NTG stuff at the time, and the Sennheiser MKE 600, and for the price it was pretty comparable. And I thought it sounded better, I guess. What else do we use microphones for?
I think I forgot to tell you or say what we use for our room mics.
Oh yeah, you did.
So we use shotgun mics for our audience mics.
No way.
Yeah, they're on the front of the stage. I actually don't know what the models are at the top of my head.
Hey, I didn't know mine either.
But I think they're Rode microphones. Just on the front of the stage on little short booms, basically, just to get them a little closer to the audience. But then, yeah, just pointed out to the audience. So other than that, I don't know what other microphones I use or have. I think if, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
What would be, if you could buy, one microphone.
Can I buy multiple of that one microphone?
If you could buy one microphone.
Like a single microphone.
Just as like a personal mic for you.
Oh.
To just have for whatever. Arsenal. It could be wired. It could be wireless. Price doesn't matter, I guess, maybe. What mic would you pick and why?
This is going to be semi-controversial, I think. But not really.
Is it the $17 headset mic that I have?
No.
Oh. That would sound awesome on the kick drum.
Now, before I answer, I need to know what is the application.
Just like a general application. Well, maybe we'll...
Am I amplifying this microphone or not?
What do you mean?
So, I would say for...
This is awesome just watching you like try to process this question.
At home, more so than like, I'm going to say this. I think I would more likely need in the arsenal some sort of non-amplifying microphone for filming video or doing live like web calls or something like that. And I personally think that a great kit to have right now would be the Rode VideoMic Pro.
Yeah.
It comes with, it's like the DJI kit, and it can record onto itself from each transmitter. So record directly to that. 32-bit float audio. It is be real time, apparently. And I mean, technically, you know, you can use that for like getting live. You can put a shotgun microphone into it and then have wireless shotgun to your camera. You can technically use it live. Not sure I would recommend that. But you could technically do it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the transmitter into your, or the receiver into your console, mm-hmm. and have like a wireless lapel because it's got mics built in. It mm-hmm. also comes with two broadcast lavs.
Wow.
And I'm getting two mics for the price of one.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Because you said which one mic would I want?
So what I should do, I should get the Behringer drum mic kit. That's got seven microphones.
I didn't quite think of it that way, but yeah.
Nice.
But that's like $400. So
yeah. I said price
doesn't matter.
Isn't really an option. Obviously, there's like $20,000 microphones out there. But
now, if I'm getting a vocal mic that can be used as an instrument mic for more of a live sound or even podcasting through like an interface. That's where it gets kind of weird. There's this weird like crossover land.
Yeah.
Cause there's the live and broad like podcasts. And then there's like, you could still use it for podcast or computer audio and then video audio. Like, I don't know. There's not really a great microphone for the whole gambit. I feel like.
Yeah, there is.
Well, this is where I'm going to say I'd get the 58.
Mm. Nice.
I think that'd be great to have in the arsenal.
Yeah.
Or a 57, because you can use that for vocals.
You can.
Yep. Or I personally don't have either of those. I actually have a wired V7.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Your turn.
My turn? Here's what I'd get. You ready?
$17 podcast or preaching microphone.
I mean, I would like to see what it sounds like on the kick drum. Probably not very well, but you never know. I probably would pick a QLXD with a SM58 capsule.
Oh, I didn't even know wireless was an option.
If you go back to this podcast, everyone that's listening, and you rewind about 7 minutes, because Eric talked a long time
that's
about
true.
His little Rode thing.
I did.
I said wired or wireless. Price really not really a factor. Now, fast forward back to what I just said.
Yeah.
A QLXD.
With a 58.
With a 58 capsule is probably what I would pick because it's wireless.
It is.
So that opens up a ton of options.
It's also got the D stands for like data, digital. It's,
yep.
Because you can plug it in and monitor it and everything.
Yep. Which we have that plugged into our CL5 so we can see like all the information on the CL5 with it. But it's got XLR, so I could plug that right into an audio interface if I need to do a podcast or like a podcast or Zoom call. I could technically throw that on a little stand, route that to my computer, boom. I could use that because it's a 57 or a 58 capsule. I could throw that on an instrument. It's wireless. Throw it on an instrument. The rechargeable battery feature is just like amazing.
Amazing.
It could also be obviously a good vocal mic. So that's probably what I would pick. If I had 13 or 1400, however much it is now, I don't even know. Yeah. But $1,400 in my bank in my account. Pocket. And I needed to go get a microphone for just anything. So you get into less expensive wireless microphones, you get into like, you can't always set the frequency levels or ranges. The batteries might not last as long. Might be a plastic housing versus a metal housing. So I just think for like $1,500, that thing is like bomb-proof. 14 or 12 hours on a charge with the Shure batteries. It's awesome. So there you have it.
A lot of this doesn't matter which microphone that you're using without getting it right at the source.
Yes. We had a podcast about that.
We had a whole episode dedicated to that. So listen back to that. But in general, you got to get it right at the source. Whether that's you're a you know, a terrible vocalist who does, you know.
Are you saying there's bad vocalists out there?
I'm saying there's bad vocalists out there.
You mean when the lead pastor says, hey, my wife has to sing on the team?
Yes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be great, but some of them aren't.
I would say probably most aren't.
And then no amount of auto-tune will fix that.
No, because usually if they're a bad vocal,
it's going to make it
the
worse.
Pitch control actually makes it worse. Yes.
No amount of microphone technique will make that better.
No. No. And
but
there's only so many plugins you can add.
And no amount of different types of microphones will make that better. Like,
correct.
Oh, I'm going to try this 58 compared to this 87. Like, no. That's just.
If they're singing off key or late or early, whatever it might be, like obviously that still is gonna be bad. However, once you get the good source, a microphone can be a huge difference.
Yeah. On the flip side, you can buy a $17 Behringer. I think it's literally called the 87. It's like the opposite, the 57.
Oh yeah.
Or the
I would not.
85.
Because then you're supporting Behringer.
Well, I'm just saying, and we keep bringing up Behringer because we're making fun of them in this podcast. But if you have a great singer, they can sound pretty dang good on a cheap microphone.
They can, and they can sound better on a nice microphone.
Yes.
But a bad singer will always sound bad, whether it's a cheap microphone or an expensive microphone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen back on that episode. Figure it out. Get it right at the source. You might have to tune your guitar every so often or tune your drums every so often. Get it right.
Placement is a big thing.
Placement is a huge thing.
As far as like drums and then obviously like microphone technique
for a
singer.
Even vocally. Like,
if I drop that thing to my belly, that's not really a great use of the microphone.
But why? I don't know if you guys
people
know
do
this,
it.
But the farther the microphone is from your mouth, the worse it gets.
Yep.
I'm going to take this microphone. I really don't know how this sounds right now, but I'm going to take this microphone and I'm going to keep talking and I'm just going to slowly move it away from my voice or from my mouth.
Well, it would be away from your voice as well.
It definitely is away from my voice as well. But hopefully, again, I'm not hearing what this sounds like, but hopefully it should sound a little different, maybe more tinny.
More
like,
distance between, more airy.
Let's see.
That's like
12,
2 feet between
no,
your.
No, it's not 2 feet. It's like a foot and a half.
No, it's 2 feet.
All right. We'll go 2 feet away. 3 feet away. I can't reach it any farther. It's the end of my arms. And then I'll slowly bring this back right up to my mouth, and hopefully it sounds better now.
And because Benji did that, I'm just going to do it just for fun. It's getting further away from me, the source, and not even pointed at me at this point. And now it's coming back, and
so
it makes a difference.
It does. We work with
and this isn't even being lively amplified.
It's true. It will sound even worse in a live
feedback
room.
Feedback would be
when you got drums
insane.
And all that. We talk with our vocalists all the time of basically if the mic is not touching your mouth or chin, it should be. Like a finger, maybe two distance between, and don't cup the microphone like all the cool people you see on TV. And yeah, keep it there. I really hate it when people, vocalists, they sing, and then when they hit like a really high note,
drag it way out.
Yeah, they like have to pull it away.
Because it gets too loud in their in-ears.
Well,
probably.
They need to fix that.
But they should turn down their in-ears.
Right. That just drives me up the wall. So
yeah.
Yeah, so microphone technique, it's a big deal. And that's not just for vocalists. That's miking a guitar amp. That's miking a drum. That's miking a talking head announcement video that you might be doing, or a Zoom call that you might be doing. Get that microphone nice and close to your mouth. Even the angle can change a big difference because microphones have different pickup patterns depending on the microphone. How you angle the mic to the source will make it sound thinner or deeper, or might eliminate feedback depending on where it's pointed and the surrounding sounds in the room. So that's all I got.
Be sure to like and follow us on Instagram, the Technology in Worship Podcast.
Yes.
Tell us which microphones that you're using in your worship space.
Yes.
Or
if you
want to
make fun
wherever.
Of me for using my $17 microphone. I'm a big boy. I can take
or
it.
Or tell us how well the Behringer drum kit microphone set works.
Yes, you could do that
for
as well.
For some of those very cheap, inexpensive microphones that you're using compared to the higher-end, high prices of other microphones.
Yep. We will see you next week.
Adios.
Bye.